Well, praise God. This morning we're going to just open the pages of the Word of God and just see what God has to say to us today. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 54, please. Isaiah chapter 54. Now, over the last few months, weeks and months, we've been looking at a series of teaching which we've been calling the Covenant of Peace. And we've read that this covenant shall not be removed from us. You know, we've gone through over the weeks and looking at this scripture here, Isaiah 54 verse 10, that the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my covenant of peace, but my kindness so shall not depart from you, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Well, we've seen as we've gone through that series, we saw that God's covenant of peace was a covenant of blessing, a covenant of prosperity. It was a covenant of health and healing. It was a covenant of security and protection and other things. But this morning I want us to start a new series of teaching. But although we're going to begin a new series of teaching, we're not changing our scripture. We're still going to be from Isaiah chapter 54. But we're looking at a different verse, or a couple of different verses. I want us to turn to the early part of Isaiah 54 this morning and in these coming weeks. You know, in this new series of teaching which we are calling Breaking Free from Containment, we're going to see that God wants us to break free from everything that contains us as Christians, as the people of God, as the church of Jesus Christ in today's generation. Now, the word containment literally means to control something or prevent something from moving, from increasing, or from extending. You often hear the phrase in associated with perhaps a fire that's got out of control. And you might hear on the news or read in the papers that the fire crews, the fire brigade, have contained the blaze. They've contained the fire. Just, we see it on the TV screens, particularly with some of the really hot weather that we've just been experiencing, where perhaps fires can break out and cause damage in areas. You know, and the local authorities try to contain that fire as much as they can. There was an incident that occurred quite a few years ago now. You'll remember it well. It was the disaster with the BP oil platform just off the coast of the USA, somewhere out there, you know, and that was spewing out oil into the sea, gallons and gallons and gallons of the stuff. Well, they put the booms on the surface, they tried to contain the oil from spreading. You know, we can become contained, and that's not what God's purpose is for us. God's purpose is that we break free from our containment, we break free from our limitations, we break free from the things that will prevent us from moving, increasing, and extending in the things and the purpose of God. You know, God spoke to us earlier on this year, and it's been the theme of our year in our fellowship here, that this is a year to enlarge our territories, to enlarge our borders and move on into better and greater things in God. You know, to extend and enlarge our territories, our borders. But too often we can become contained by the things in our lives that will prevent us from doing that very thing. We can be contained by things which will stop us from moving on and going forward in God and enjoying the fullness of the blessing as God has intended us to. Because as people, we like things to be just comfortable. Do you know what I mean? Just right. We don't like anything that rocks the boat and causes a disturbance. If something comes that we don't like and it upsets the boat a little bit, you know, we put up the barriers, we put up, oh, we're not having this. And we become contained. You know, but God has a purpose for each one of us. And it's a good purpose. You know, we read in Jeremiah that God's got a good plan for us. He's got a good future for us. He's got a purpose, a destiny for us. And whatever we are contained, we will never complete our purpose or fulfill our destiny in God. You know, we've got to break free from containment. We've got to break free from those limits and those boundaries and those fences and walls that we build and erect that keep us contained. You know, this message, I believe, is of God, and it's designed to rock our boats. It's designed to take us out of our comfort zones, because we're not going to be comfortable when we start to break free. We're not going to feel comfortable. You know, we're going to be out of our comfort zones. We're going to be in deep water. We're going to be out of our depth. But God's intention for us is to bring us into something better, something greater, something that's beyond our dreams and our comprehension. But we will only enter into that, we'll only fulfill that, once we break free from the things that contain us. So let's go to the Word of God this morning, and let's just have a look at what God says. We're going to be reading from Isaiah 54, and our text verses for this series of teaching are verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 54, 1 says these words: "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." You know, this was a prophetic word that was spoken over Jerusalem at a time in her history which was not a good time. This was the time of captivity. You know, what happened in the captivity was that I believe it was Nebuchadnezzar, or certainly one of those kings. They came in, they conquered Jerusalem, they took captive the inhabitants of Jerusalem and took them back to another land. And we get that, there's those beautiful Psalms where the people are dreaming of their homeland. You know, all by the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion, the scripture says. You know, they were taken into captivity. They were in a foreign land. They were out of their comfort zones. They weren't in a place that they felt comfortable. They were away from the Jerusalem, which was the focus of worship for the Jewish person. You know, God spoke this prophetic word over Jerusalem during that time. And in this prophecy, God likens her to a woman that was barren. A woman that was without child. A woman that was unable to give birth. "Sing, O barren, you who have not born," it says there in verse 1. "Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child." You know, in this scripture, in this prophecy, you know, God went on to tell this city of Jerusalem, yes, you've got to rejoice, O barren one. You've got to rejoice and cry aloud. Even though you've not labored with child, even though you've not had any new sons and any new daughters in this period of captivity, when it's felt like you've been bereft of your children. He said, you've got something to do. He said, I want you to enlarge the place of your tent. I want you to stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Enlarge. That's increase, increasing. That's extending. Stretch. That's another word, which talks about enlargement, an increasing, extending. You ever got up in the morning and you stretched? You've extended your arms. You've increased the size of your body as you stretch out. Do not spare. Does that sound like someone that's being contained? No, not sparing, you know, being generous, being free, opening up. Lengthen your cords. Again, another reference there to increase, to lengthen. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and inhabit the desolate cities. You know, those words are beautiful words there, talking about increase. You know, the word of God came to Jerusalem. It was time for her to stretch out. It was time for her to enlarge her territory. It was time for her to extend her boundaries. And only by extending her borders would she then be capable of having more children than she could have ever dreamed of. Because what was going to happen, you see, is that she had to increase because God's people were coming back. God had a purpose and he was bringing his people back. And we've been studying that in the book of Nehemiah on our midweek services. And again, just go to the website and download them if you haven't, if you've missed any of those midweek ones on working for God. You know, God was bringing his people back and they were coming back to their homeland. They were coming back to Jerusalem. They were coming back to that place where Jerusalem was the focus of their worship, the focus of their religious activities. They were coming back. God was bringing them back. And Jerusalem needed to extend. Now she'd been broken down in the time of captivity. She'd been made a place of ruins. And we studied that in Nehemiah. But God wanted her to increase. God wanted her to expand. God wanted her to enlarge. God wanted her to stretch out. God wanted her to lengthen her cords, strengthen her stake, because God was about to do something really good, something spectacular. You know, and God wants to do something spectacular and something good with us. But we've got to break free from our containment. We've got to extend. We've got to enlarge. We've got to increase. We've got to lengthen and strengthen our roots in God. You know, it was a reproach for a woman, particularly in Old Testament times, to be barren, to be childless. And I want us to look at one woman of the Old Testament right now. And if we can go to Genesis chapter 30, we're going to see that it was a reproach. It was shameful for a woman to be childless, a woman to have no heir, no son, no daughter. And we're going to look at, in Genesis 30, we're going to look at Rachel, Jacob's wife. Let me just build up the what had happened to you. Remember, Jacob had served Laban for 7 years. He'd been promised Rachel as a wife, and he agreed terms with Laban that they would work, that he would work for 7 years and take Rachel as his wife. So Jacob, because he was honorable to that agreement, that covenant he made, he served Laban faithfully for 7 years. Now remember, Jacob was, in his earlier days, was a bit of a deceiver. You know, he deceived his brother Esau, and he deceived his father Isaac to give him the blessing. And now, it was his turn to be deceived. He was the deceiver, and he was deceived. Yes, because he faithfully worked 7 years for Laban so that he could marry Rachel. And then, to put it in a scenario that we would understand today in our world, in our understanding, you know, Jacob was at the front of the church on that day waiting for his bride to come. He had his best man. They were excited. This was the day of his marriage. And then suddenly the doors flew open at the church. And in walked this beautiful bride, covered head to white, to toe in white. And as she walked up the aisle, you know, her veil covered her face down the front of her dress. And she came and stood next to Jacob. Now, and the ceremony went on. They got wed. But during the ceremony, you know, the veil wasn't lifted. And when once they were married and it came time, and they peeled back the veil, who was stood next to Jacob but Rachel's sister, Leah? Laban had cheated him. Jacob had served 7 years for Rachel, but now he's married to Leah. And so what happens was then he gets another deal with Laban. He says, look, he said, you promised me Rachel. He said, now I will work another 7 years, and I want Rachel as my wife. And he was happy to do that. And he served those 7 years and took Rachel to be his wife. But in chapter 30, Genesis 30, verse 1, it says, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Rachel was barren and childless. And we can see a few problems here that are developing. Because this barrenness caused her problems with her sister. She envied her sister. Her sister had children. And she turns to Jacob and says, look, he said, give me children or else I die. You know, it's not, my life's not worth living if I don't have children. You know, that was the shame of a childless person. You know, it'd be better for me to be dead than be childless. You know, what a situation. You know, this caused big rifts in the family. It caused problems with her sister. You know, she envied her sister. What she was, she started to blame Jacob for her barrenness. Ultimately, she was blaming God for her barrenness. So what she tried to do is she tried to fill that void in her life and do something to make herself happy. And what she did, she engineered a situation. She said to Jacob, she came up with this brainwave of an idea. Jacob, if you have my maid, Bilhah, she can give you sons on my behalf for me. We see that in verse 6. So she said, here's my maid Bilhah, go into her and she will bear a child on my knees that I also may have children by her. Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Now, like all good men, his wife came up with this brainwave of an idea, and he says, yes, dear. Okay, dear. Yes, ma'am. But what she didn't count on was the danger of her plan. You know, you should beware the plan. Beware of the plan when things don't look like they're going the way you want them to go. Beware of your plans. Coming in and trying to engineer the situation so that you try and fulfill the destiny in your own strength and not in the in God's mind. Because what happens here, this situation only caused an ongoing resentment and competition between these two. Because what happened was, Leah saw that Rachel's maid had given birth. So not to be outdone, Leah gives Jacob her maid to have children by. And there was this competition all the time, trying to compete, trying to be the best, trying to, I suppose in one way, trying to satisfy Jacob and satisfy God, and satisfy themselves in the process. But all it was doing was just creating more and more problems. And then we come to verse 22, Genesis 30, 22. And just listen to these words. It says, then God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. Therefore she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. You know, eventually, many years later, God opened Rachel's womb. And she bears a son. Listen to these words as she says, God has taken away my reproach. God has taken away my shame. God has blessed me with a son. And she calls his name Joseph, which means let him add. You know, she believes that God's going to add to her. God is going to increase her. God is going to enlarge her. God is going to give her more children. And cause her to be blessed. You know what's happening here? She's beginning to break free from containment. She's beginning to break free from the limitations that she had set for herself. You know, she perhaps had resigned herself to the fact that she would never have children. And limiting herself to just one channel of blessing through her maid, Bilhah. But as she begins, now she's beginning to break free, and now she's beginning to come, God's going to add to me more sons. God is going to bless me. God is going to increase me. God is going to enlarge me. You know, something we can learn from Rachel's story here is that we cannot grow and increase to fulfill our destiny if we're contained, if we're bound by limitations, we're bound by the things that have gone wrong, bound by failure, bound by fear. You know, we contain ourselves according to our abilities. Oh, we can't do this. We can't do that. We haven't got the strength to do this. We haven't got the ability. We haven't got the know-how. We haven't got the knowledge. You know, our inhibitions contain us. Fear of what others might think contain us. How we feel contains us. What we're comfortable with contains us. We set our boundaries and our limitations, and we live within them, expecting God to conform and work in our way and to our satisfaction. And we will never fulfill our destiny if we're contained like that. We will only grow and develop as far as the limitations that we set in place. Now, Rachel wasn't alone in that. Sarah did the same thing. Do you remember Sarah? Abraham's wife. Well, let's just very quickly turn back to Genesis 16. Well, it's I said Sarah and Abraham. Well, actually, they haven't had their names changed yet, and it's Sarai and Abram. And it says here in Genesis 16, verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Yeah, Sarai did the same thing that Rachel did. She was contained by this thought that she'd not had children, her inability to conceive, and they engineer the circumstances, and she, the only way she could see God providing a son for Abraham was through Hagar, her maidservant. And that was her limitation. That was her containment. That was her the limit of her boundaries and her expectancy. And look at the result of that. Abram had a son, Ishmael. You know, and over the centuries, many, many wars have been fought. Many people have lost their lives. Many battles have taken. Why? Because of the Isaac-Ishmael feud. If only Sarah had not allowed herself to become contained, the story would have been completely different. But let's go back to Isaiah 54. Because this prophecy from Isaiah was spoken over Jerusalem during a very tough time, as we've already mentioned. It was the time of captivity. Her sons and her daughters had been taken away into a distant land. It was a time of weeping. And it was as though Jerusalem was barren and childless. But God has a word for her. Rejoice, O barren one. Break forth into singing. Why? Because more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. Break forth into singing. Does that sound like someone that's contained? Well, Jerusalem was contained in that sense. But God told her to rejoice, rejoice, break forth into singing. God was going to add to her more children than she had had before. He was going to bring them back from the exile into their own land. You know what? While God's people were out of Jerusalem, do you know what was happening? They were still increasing. The women were giving birth. You know, there was more that were going to come back than when. Yeah, there might have been a few that wouldn't come back because they died in exile. But more were coming back to Jerusalem than when. Because they were increasing. And God was going to add more children to Jerusalem, more than she ever had. But there was a price that needed to be paid. She had to break free from the things that contained her. Let's just, I don't want to be too long this morning, but let's just think of this thought. Let's just process this thought in our spirits this morning. That it was containment that led God's people into captivity. What do I mean by that? Well, if you look at the scriptures, you'll see that because God's people never fully trusted God, they never trusted God. They were contained by things. You know, that containment, write this down, this is an important, containment always brings us into bondage. Containment always brings us into bondage. Containment will bring us into bondage to our situations. We can just never break free when we're contained. Containment will all bring us into bondage to our circumstances. Now we're always looking at where we're at. You know, this last few weeks, we've not been able to, well, I didn't say we've not been able to, you know, it's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you're watching the clouds because I want to cut the grass in the garden. And I've not had opportunity to get out into the garden and cut the grass. Because every time I've wanted to do it, I've looked at the sky and I'm like, oh, it's going to rain, and oh, it's just rained, and it's no point cutting the grass. Yeah, I decided this week that I had to get the grass cut. You know, so I looked for an available opportunity in the weather and went out and cut the grass. I had to cut it on a high cut. I couldn't cut it as low as I wanted to cut because it hadn't been cut for a few weeks. Actually, it hadn't been cut for several weeks, and it was quite high and it was quite tough, and I just ran over it quickly with the mower just to bring it down a little bit. But there's a scripture that says, he who observes the clouds will not sow. I'm not quite sure which way around it might be. He will not reap. But if you're constantly looking at something and you think, well, I can't do it because, that's containment. We're being contained. We're contained by the weather, contained by our circumstances, contained by our situations, contained by our abilities. We're contained by our comfort. We're contained by our fears. We're contained by our limitations. And it brings us into bondage. And that's what happened to God's people. They were brought into captivity. They were brought into bondage because of containment. Look at God's people when they were coming up out of Egypt. God brought them up out of Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea. He brought them through the wilderness. But God's people were contained. He couldn't bring them into the promised land because of their containment. Yes, they went in, they looked at the giants in the land. They looked at the fruit of the land. They looked at the cities of the land. You know, and those 12 spies, they came back. You know, and 10 of them were so full of negativity. No, we can't do this. We can't do it. We can't go in. We're just like grasshoppers in this. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. But thank God for two men, Joshua and Caleb. He said, come on, folks, we can go in, we can take the land. We can do it. God's on our side. God will bring us into the land he's promised to bring us into. You know, Joshua and Caleb weren't contained. But the 10 spies were. And do you know what? Do they persuaded through their lack of faith in God, their unbelief, brought them into bondage for 40 years. And 40 years they wandered in that wilderness. 40 years being contained by the desert sands. Not able to press in to the promised land. But thank God one day those days of containment were over. And Joshua and Caleb led God's people into the promised land. Contained Containment always brings us into bondage. There's another thought that perhaps you can write down. Containment is a dam on the rivers of blessing. When we contain and limit God, or we try to get God to conform to our way of working, our way of thinking, it stops the flow of blessing. Have you ever seen, you know, those big dams that they build across rivers and estuaries to hold back the water? It contains the water, stops the water from moving, stops the water from extending and increasing. It holds back the flow. And that's what containment does. It holds back the flow of the blessing. You know, the river of blessing is meant to flow out of your innermost being, Jesus said, shall flow rivers of living water. We're to let the river flow, we're not to contain it. We're not to dam it up. We're not to stop it and prevent it. We've got to let it flow. But whatever we're contained by our abilities, our inhibitions, our fears, our feelings, whatever we're contained and we're sitting in our little boat and we're quite happy just bobbing about on life's ocean, we're comfortable. We're containing the blessing. You know, God wants to rock our boats this morning. We've got to break free from containment. Break free from containment. Let the river flow. God wants us to rejoice. Are you feeling contained this morning? Are you feeling bound by your abilities? Bound by your feelings? Bound by your circumstances? Bound by your inhibitions? Well, let go and let God take over. Do you know what he says in his word? Actually, it's in the next chapter in Isaiah. In Isaiah 55. You know, we can never get God to conform to our ways. And we often do it, perhaps not consciously. But if you examine the way we pray sometimes, and the way we talk, you know, God, we want you to do, or we tell God exactly how he should work, how he should do something, how we should answer our prayers. We're trying to get God to conform to our way, but God's ways, according to his word here in Isaiah 55, his ways are higher than our ways. Look what it says. It says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, it says this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are far higher than our ways. And for us to think that we can get God to conform to our way of thinking is a futile exercise. Because God's ways are much higher than our ways. To get God to think the way we think It's futile, because his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. So much better, rather than try and contain God, and try and being contained, is that we break free from containment. You know, rejoice today. I believe your days of containment are over. My days of containment are over. God is about to bring us into something better, something greater, something of eternal worth. Wait, and you'll receive a blessing. I'll receive a blessing. And God will get the glory. Breaking free from containment is not about us. It's about Him. It's about fulfilling the destiny and the purpose and the plan that God has for each and every one of us. Because when we fulfill that destiny, He gets the glory. He gets all the praise. Come on, church. Your days of containment are over. Your days of containment are over. We're not going to be contained. We're not going to be bound by the things of yesterday. We're not going to be bound by the things of the past. We're not going to be bound by our abilities. We're not going to be bound by our fears. We're not going to be bound by our feelings. We're not going to be bound by our circumstances. We're not going to be bound by the situation that we're in. We're not going to be bound by our bank balance. We're not going to be bound by any boundary or limitation that we set, because God wants us to break free. You know, as we go through this series of teaching over the next few weeks, we're going to see that God wants us to enlarge. God wants us to stretch. God wants us to have a spare measure. You know, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully, that's the word I'm looking for. God wants us to be bountiful. God wants us to lengthen our cords, strengthen our stakes, expand to the right and to the left. God wants us to inherit the nations. Hallelujah. Break free from containment. Rejoice today. Our days of containment are over. Bless God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.